Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? This is TLR. It is Tuesday. Well, we got a lot to talk about tonight. Why am I saying tonight? We have a lot to talk about today. Special guest on the show today, the one, the only, AZ Sports' very own Bill Cage. My man, my partner in crime, the one, the only, Derek Montilla. He's coming up at 1:15. Eli. Giants. LeBron and the Lakers, 0-3. That's a big deal. Seems kind of like it, huh? The World Series starts tonight. Going to get into that later as well. A lot of stuff going on. Like I said, this is the Cave Show. This is PLR. Thank you for joining today. We are brought to you by the one, the only Madrone's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Located at Alma School in Chandler Heights in Chandler, Arizona, 4991 Alma School. Get in there, let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. Madrone's Fine Cigar and Tobacco now serving beer and wine as well. You can become a club member, get a locker that backs up to a humidor. Never worry about your sticks going bad. Ton of televisions around there. You can watch TV for days. All the sports leagues are on. So make sure you get down there and check them out. Again, that's Madrone's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights. Now serving beer and wine, and let them know that PLR sent you. You get 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. All calls made via the Carry Lackey Law Line. Like I said, we got the one, the only Derek Montilla calling in at 1:15. So let's get some calls in before then. If we have, I see we do have a call. Thank you for waiting. You got the topic list. We're talking Eli. We're talking World Series. We're talking the Lakers. All that and more right here, right now. Calling number 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828. Carry Lackey Law Line, thank you for your patience. This is the Cave Show. This is PLR. To whom do I have the privilege to speak with?
Good afternoon, Paul. It's Lou once again. And, well, tonight's World Series.
Game one, let's get this rolling. Let's do this.
Yes.
And I've got to go with the Red Sox. I've waited to make my prediction, and I'm going with the Red Sox. I think they're going to win tonight. I think this is a 5-game series.
Really?
I know that sounds dominating. They've played all year like they expected to be here. They went through the American League. They went through their division, won their division despite the Yankees won 100 games as well. They went through, if you look at it, they went through the Yankees, 100 wins this year. They went through the Astros, 100 wins this year. And I quite honestly think both those teams are better than the Dodgers. And I think the Red Sox will win the World Series.
I do too, but I think it's going to go 7 games. I don't see, either team backing down, with both their lineups. So I think it's going to be a very hard-fought 7-game series.
I'm not sold on Chris Sale. I'm not sold on David Price. But then on the other side, I'm not sold on Clayton Kershaw. So I think the top of the rotation on both sides can be a little flawed. But I love the Red Sox bullpen. I don't like the Dodgers bullpen. And the Red Sox can hit so many different ways, and kicking it off in Boston, I just don't see how the Red Sox is going. I don't see how the Red Sox are going to lose. I just don't. I don't have a horse in this race. I love the Sox, but that's the White Sox. And I live out here in Arizona, and I pull strongly for the D-backs. So there's not like I'd rather see this team win over that team. I just want to see a very entertaining World Series. I think it's great. I love the fact that it's starting tonight. That means we have baseball the next couple nights without having it compete against football, so we can thoroughly enjoy it. Same with Friday and Saturday. We'll have baseball without it competing against football, so we'll thoroughly be able
Sunday
to enjoy it.
Sunday we have a problem.
Sunday we have a problem, but by then I think it'll be 3-1. Your take on it, I just don't see it.
I see it's going 7 games. These are 2 teams that, you know, have histories of getting there. They have a tough lineup. I don't see us going, you know, being like a sweep or 5 games. This has to go the full 7.
Yeah, I'm interested. Like I said, this is a World Series that I really want to watch. I think I would have watched a repeat of last year. But this series is just so explosive, and the Red Sox are so explosive. And if they can hit like that against Houston, who has just an incredible starting lineup,
Dodgers stack up in chilly conditions.
But you know what? They came off playing a series in Milwaukee. And they looked good in Milwaukee, and Milwaukee wasn't exactly, you know, South Beach. So I'm not as worried about that. I'm just looking more at the pitching and the park, and I want to see how the Dodger outfielders play balls off the Green Monster. I want to see how they, you know, how it just. I don't know. I don't have anything that's pointing to me that the Dodgers should win this series. But we'll see. That's why they play the game, right? I mean, that's why they take the field. Hell, I was wrong in the last series. I bet against Boston. Not bet, literally, but picked against Boston the last time around. So we'll see what happens. Switching up briefly to football, NFL. I don't understand what's going on with the Giants. I really don't understand what's going on with the Giants. You have the ball. You have a 3 feet to get, and you decide to quarterback sneak with Eli Manning when you have an all-world running back standing behind Eli Manning, and you allow just time to go off the clock over and over and over and over. You go for 2 instead of 1. I don't understand what the Giants are doing. From coaching down to play calling down to just the chemistry of the team, how they're getting along. People can say what they want to say. Eli is fried. He now hears the ghost. And he gets at
Wait,
you.
Which Eli? Manning
Eli
or Apple?
Eli Manning. He is going down on sacks before anyone is really getting close to him. And I can understand why, because that offensive line is atrocious. But at the same time, he has no patience in the pocket anymore. The happy feet start, and he's going down. He's not looking to run. He's never been a runner. So he's just going down. And the passes are coming out quicker when he thinks he's going to get hit. And for a team like this that just does not have a good offensive line, I'm wondering why there aren't more plays where they're just three-step drops. Balls out. Why are they not doing things to help him? I don't get the Giants right now. I really don't. I don't understand what they're doing. They have enough offensive weapons. You got Ingram, Shepard, Odell, Barkley. You have enough offensive weapons to be better than their record is saying that they are right now.
Yeah, I mean, and last night was the bottom of the barrel. I mean, Atlanta against the Giants, it doesn't get much worse than that.
Well, and Atlanta's a team you can score on. And so that's the one thing, too. We're not talking about an Atlanta defense that's great. We're talking about an Atlanta defense that was decimated with injury. You can score on this team. And the Giants didn't do that at all. So that tells me there's something wrong with the offense. There's something wrong with the play calling. There's something wrong with exactly what's going on in New York. Everything in New York revolves around New York, according to New Yorkers. And down to the, why did Odell Beckham leave the field? Why is he going to the bathroom? I mean, there's so much everything pointing at everything. And after a point, sometimes you're just like, wow, really? Let's just play some football, man.
It's been a bad year for all New York teams. Well, most of them anyway.
I don't know. I don't get this. I don't see this. I'm looking at a team that has enough offensive weapons to not play like that. It just makes no sense. Atlanta put up 23 points. Atlanta gives up more than 23 points. If you just attack them. And the Giants, to me, they just did not do that last night. I mean, their defense, if I play defense for the Giants this morning, I'm pissed. Because we played well enough for you to get a win. And I know Eli threw for 399. I get that. I do. But it's all the other little things. And it's not always just what the score is. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it is hard to figure out.
The Dallas Cowboys, keeping it NFL.
Yeah.
Amari Cooper, we touched on this yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He's there. I'm wondering, and I started thinking about this more, is this a move for now, or is this a move for later?
Now.
And by that, I mean, we know that Dallas is not thinking that they're out of this race by any stretch of the imagination this year, because it's still a winnable division. I mean, Washington is only 4-2, and yeah, you lost to them, but you didn't play them again. So, is Amari Cooper the person, though, that will make Dak better than what Dak is? See, I don't think Dak is a bad quarterback. I just think he falls into that middle of the packer. You know, and like I said, I lump him in with the Matt Ryans, the Matt Staffords. I lump him in with that group. You know, he's not Aaron Rodgers, or he's not Tom Brady, he's not Drew Brees, he's not Russell Wilson, he's not Ben Roethlisberger. He's not in that list. But I think when you get to that list, it's just under that list. I think that's where he is. And, I mean, Dallas is 3-4. So, like I said, this division hasn't gotten away from him. The only team out in that division are the Giants. The Giants are done. So, we'll see where that goes from here. But, hey, Luke, if there's anything you want, I'm going to let you go ahead and tell me now. I got a guest hopping on the other line, waiting to jump on. I'll let you hit me.
Well, I'm just still saying that, you know, it's going to be Dodgers in seven. And, the Red Sox in seven, and that's how I see it. So, on that note, I will leave you, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye, my friend. Talk to you later.
All right.
Good friend of the program, Lou. Always good to catch up with him. This is The Cave Show. This is PLR.
This is Trevor Ariza with the Phoenix Suns, and you're in The Cave with PLR.
Online with us, my man here. This, me and and I'm going to use poor English. Me and Derek go back, way back, way back. He was with me here on the show, so before anybody. So he's back on today. You know him. He's with AZ Sports. It's Bill Cage. I think he's still the mayor of Reseda. I think. And he's still owed a Pearl River plunge by me. The one, the only, Derek Montilla. What's up, bro?
What's happening, man? How you doing?
What's going on?
I'm still the mayor of Reseda. I have not been I've not been beaten in that election yet. So we'll see what happens.
I just wanted to make sure, because I know you've been the mayor for a while. I don't know if there were term limits or if there was a runoff or new election, or just wanted to check with that first.
It's a fictional position for a city that's not even a real city. So pretty much as long as I want to be here.
So the New York Yankees have a history where they've hated the Red Sox forever. And because they've been gone since 1959, I believe is the year, a lot of people forget the Yankees and the Dodgers used to hate each other. Back to the days when they were the Brooklyn Dodgers playing at good old Ebbets Field. And that kind of went on through, especially in the 70s when 77 and 78, you had the Yankees beating the Dodgers in back-to-back years for the World Series title. Then in 1981, the Dodgers finally got a little bit of revenge, if you want to call it that, beating the Yankees for the World Series with Steve Garvey, Steve Howe, Steve Yeager. I still remember that picture of the Steves running and hugging down the mound. But Yankee fans don't like either one of these teams. Real Yankee fans don't like either one of these teams. So who better to have on than a true Yankee fan who's going to give me an opinion on this World Series that has no bias because he probably wants both teams to go to hell anyway. So, Derek, please handicap this World Series for me.
It's interesting because the way you put it makes it sound like Yankees fan. Like, I really think Yankees fans only really started hating Red Sox over the last, like, 10 years. I feel like that's where the real hate has come in, whereas the hate prior to that was kind of a one-sided hate. It was a one-sided hate. But, yeah, I mean, divisional rivals, all of that. It's been a long-storied rivalry. Both teams, like you said, are pretty terrible. Yeah, I hate both teams, you know. The Dodgers, not only do I hate them for their past, but I hate them for their current, you know, rivalry with the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I hate the Boston Red Sox because they're the Boston Red Sox. Both teams have been phenomenal this season, though. You can't say that that they weren't, especially once the Dodgers acquired Manny Machado. And just the, you know, they were already a really good team as it was, but between the fact that their good players became really good throughout the second half of the season, the acquisitions worked out, and they got a major superstar free agent, and even their younger players had turned into superstars kind of seemingly overnight. I remember one of the games they played against the Diamondbacks where they switched the lineup midway through the game, and it was just like ridiculous, because if the Diamondbacks did something like that, people would have wanted Lavello's head. In fact, when he started a lineup that was a different lineup from his normal lineup, people, including myself, pretty much were like, yep, they're waving the white flag. You know, but the Dodgers can do something like mid-game, literally switch up 5 out of their 9 positions, and the team is somehow just as good as it was before, if not possibly better. You know, that's a rarity. But I do think that the Red Sox have a ridiculous lineup, and I think the Red Sox have it where it counts, and I think that's in the pitching. I think the Dodgers have been very good, but they've shown that their pitching has kind of faltered at times where they needed it to be clutch. I think their offense has always been able to pick them up. You looked at that Brewer series, and it feels like the Dodgers were down in every single game. But despite them being down, it seemed like it was still a 0-0 game. They could be down 3 runs, 4 runs to the Brewers, and you found yourself just going, well, they're going to get it back at some point, 7th inning, 8th inning. They'll figure out a way to score 5 or 6 runs. That's the way it felt. This matchup is going to be really, really good because of that reason. I just think that in the end, it's going to come down to pitching, and I think the Red Sox are going to take it.
Derek, before you got online and online with us on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one, the only Derek Montilla, AZ Sports, and the Steel Cage, I'll say this, the Red Sox, I picked the Astros to beat the Red Sox, so I have to own that being wrong there. But now that I'm looking at it, the Red Sox not only got through a tougher league at the top in the American League with the Indians and the, you know, the Indians and the Yankees and the Astros, but in the playoffs,
right,
they went through a 100-win Yankee team and then a 100-win Astro team. And even though I'm not sold on Chris Sale late in seasons, because I saw it when he was with the White Sox and see it now with the Red Sox, a little bit of his velocity falters. David Price up in the top of the head sometimes gets a little bit besides himself in big games. But then the Dodgers had the same thing with Kershaw. And because they offset with your best pitchers not always being the best in big games, I look at that hitting and I agree with you. How do you get these Red Sox out once that order flips and it keeps coming around? How do you get them out? It's especially a J.D. Martinez, who's basically a hit doctor. I mean, what do you do?
I don't know. It's going to be pretty daunting for them, and I think that's why it's going to be really good. I mean, I think what it's going to come down to is the Dodgers do have one thing going for them that the Red Sox don't, and that's the experience. This team's been there before, and probably less nervous than the Red Sox are. I'm guessing the Dodgers, considering the way that they played during these playoffs, and comments by Manny Machado recently, they're playing with a chip on their shoulder. They're playing to win, you know. And so I think that as far as things like that are concerned, that's a definite plus going for them. I think that they're going to, you know, be really aggressive. I just don't know if it's going to be enough. J.D. Martinez has arguably been the best player in baseball over the last season and a half to two seasons. And that's one thing that's very frustrating for me when a lot of Diamondbacks fans talk about, you know, well, what changed? You know, what didn't happen? What, J.D. Martinez, we had the best player in baseball on the Diamondbacks last season, and people seem to forget that and the impact that that had. The problem is people look at ridiculous stats like WAR. It's, they want to act like that actually means something in the grand scheme of things. Really what it meant was J.D. Martinez took so much pressure offensively off of this team because he was always going to hit the ball, and everybody else didn't have to feel the pressure of being that guy that's going to come through in the clutch. And he used Goldschmidt quite a few times, despite how great he is and despite all of his abilities, that I've never really seen him be consistently clutch when the Diamondbacks needed him. And that's not to say, like, there has been dozens of times where he's come through for the team and hit a, you know, game-winning hit. It just means that consistently, I don't see him being such a powerhouse that in the, you know, bottom of the ninth inning with two on, people are walking him because they're so afraid of what he's going to do. Instead, what I see is them coming after him and, you know, Goldschmidt striking out. It's a different thing than when J.D. Martinez was here. So, you know, just overall, he is an amazing baseball player. And, you know, I think that that's going to be another big factor in this game. I think he's going to have a tremendous series and probably be the MVP when all is said and done.
Could be a prognosticator. How many games does this go?
Six.
Okay, so I called five. Let me ask you this, getting on the Diamondbacks real quick here. Maybe it's just me, and you alluded to it, so I've been saying this all year. I thought the Diamondbacks, instead of looking for the next guy, they let the guy go. And those are sour grapes on my part, and I haven't been able to let it go with them not signing J.D. Martinez. But please explain to me how day and age in baseball, when everyone's trying to – well, not everyone. So many teams are trying to be cheap and get cute and figure out how to win. With a cheap roster, the Yankees can afford max contracts. The Red Sox can afford max contracts. Houston can afford max contracts. The Cubs can afford max contracts. San Francisco, and I saved them for last because they're not a big market team, can afford max contracts. Why is it every time I ask anyone in this city, media-wise, why didn't the Diamondbacks sign J.D. Martinez? The first thing I hear was, well, they're paying Greinke $20 million, and they got to pay Goldschmidt, too. Why is it every time for a market that's the fifth largest city in this country, at what point can we start affording players that the San Francisco Giants can afford? At what point?
I'm going to tell you at what point. It's going to be at the point where the Diamondbacks finally admit that their team is bad enough to not compete next season. It's going to take the Diamondbacks actually doing a real rebuild. The problem with the Diamondbacks is that they constantly get themselves into ridiculous contracts with players that don't deliver or just have a bad luck, get injured, whatever the case may be. They trade away the future of the team in order, in some cases, just to alleviate themselves from this contract. So it's you look at like the Bronson Arroyo situation and what we had to give up in order just for them to take Bronson Arroyo and his contract away from us. It's bad decisions being made by desperate people who wanted to make the team win now. I said it a billion times on hundreds of different shows now, but Yasmani Tomas is the Lord and Emperor of Reno, Nevada. He is getting paid more than probably the top five earners in that city combined to play for the Reno Aces. You know, it's decisions like that that people forget. It's how much money they had to pay, not only for his contract, but in order to have that transfer fee because the Diamondbacks needed to have their own Cuban hitter like the Dodgers got. You know, it's same right. thing with Joan Lopez, and it's things like that. There's so much money that's been spent in an effort to keep this team competitive in desperate situations where you can just tell they're swinging for the fences. You know, they're me with my fantasy football team drafting Dez Bryant with the hopes that he's going to come back in the eighth round. You know, they're dumb doing stupid crap like that. It's really what it comes down to. And to be honest, I really think a couple of things played a factor here. I think Torey Lovullo had a really good, you know, first season as a manager, but I think a lot of luck played into it. A lot of things swung their way last season that didn't go their way this season. You know, especially when you talk about the big free agent hunt and the way they were able to land JD Martinez last season and the way that they weren't able to land Manny Machado and the way that Machado going to the Dodgers really sparked the Dodgers late in the season when the Diamondbacks fell flat. You look at a lot of it and it's like, yeah, the max contract thing, that came down to, I think, JD Martinez never really being here. You know, I don't think that I think it's more of a matter of JD Martinez didn't really want to sign here as much as it's the money. But I do think that the money was better elsewhere. Yes, you can give him a max contract, but it's also just about, you know, playing for certain cities. Some people, you know, you look at Patrick Corbin. Patrick Corbin has had his one foot out the door the minute the Yankees started flirting with him. He went to school in New York. He's grown up as a Yankees fan. There's something about playing for those teams that if you're given an equal opportunity to play for the Milwaukee Brewers or the New York Yankees, you're probably going to take the Yankees. Same thing goes with the Red Sox and, you know, a few other teams. Dodgers are one of them too. I just think that it's much harder in this market to land free agents. I think that Mike Hazen has done a fantastic job of managing the disaster that this team was left in his hands after Dave Stewart was let go. I think Dave Stewart really just torched the earth when it comes to what he did to this team and the decisions that they made collectively. It's not all his decisions, but collectively during his time as the GM. So I think Mike Hazen has done his best to rectify that and make moves. I don't think the team was meant to be as competitive as they were last season. Things went the way they did, and they were able to get Martinez. I think this offseason, they've actually started things pretty positively. They re-signed Eduardo Escobar to a three-year contract. Now, in my opinion, right. He was the best of the three big free agents that they have, including Corbin, A.J. Pollock, and Escobar, to keep because he was arguably the most talented and had the highest ceiling of the three. Maybe Corbin might be a little bit more talented, but again, he had his foot out the door, you know, once the Yankees even came into the conversation. So just Escobar is young and he will be a great, you know, infield core with Ketel Marte and some of the other things they're building. I feel like it gives a little bit more positive of a spin. At the same time, it's still that thing of them signing a pretty big free agent, even though he was on the team. And, you know, still attempting to be competitive during a year next season when they should probably start the rebuild process. It's rough. It's terrible. But it's one of those things that the teams you mentioned, including the Astros and other recent World Series winners, have gone through. That, you know, that terrible rebuild period where you are awful for like 3 to 5 years, and then you come back out on the other side as a contending champion with an ample farm system and, you know, ready to go. Not always that easy. It's not, not something that every team could do, but it feels like the Diamondbacks are just really, really against ever rebuilding. It feels like every season they try their best to be competitive. Now, as a fan, that's great, but in reality, when you know you're not going to be, it's just basically this futile effort to get to 500 by the end of the season and maybe come in second or third in the division.
I hear you. I know I've only got you for a couple more minutes, so I got to ask you this. One word answer. Is Goldschmidt here next year? Yes or no?
All of next year? No.
All of next year, yes.
I don't believe so. I don't think the team will be good enough in order to keep him. And I think that they'll want to trade him before the end of the season so that they get something for him, because otherwise he's going to walk at the end of next year. He didn't get a new agent for nothing. There's a reason Goldschmidt has a new agent.
Same question. AJ Pollock, off injured. Is he here?
I do not think Pollock or Corbin will be back next year.
So we're going straight Chicago Cubs 6 years ago, 7 years ago, Astros 6 years ago, the whole nine. The redo, tear it up, draw it all over.
I believe so. I believe so. I don't know, though. There's a nostalgia factor with Goldie. There's something special about him, and I think that of all of these guys, he's the one that they want to see play his entire career here. I feel like he's the guy that they want to see that number retired up. They want 44 retired up on the wall. They want his career to have been a Diamondback. But I don't even know if it's a smart business decision to keep him, because I don't know if his, like I said, I don't, you know, guy had an amazing year despite struggling so badly at times. So you got to give it to him that he goes on these stretches where he's amazing, but he also had stretches of being really terrible, especially at the end of the season and to start the season. I don't know if he's going to be worth the money potentially that he himself can get on the free agent market, and I would hate to see them let him walk without getting anything for him, like what's happening with Corbin. You know, Corbin was a tough decision. The team was in first place when the trade deadline comes around, so trading him is kind of a can't-do kind of situation, or else you pretty much look like you're giving up, considering he was one of the best pitchers on the starting, you know, rotation at the time.
I'm the Kerry Lackey Law Line, Derek Montilla, AZ Sports. Still, Cage, you know I'm not going to let you go without you telling us something we need to know about wrestling.
Oh, man. I would say that it's pretty terrible news. On Monday Night Raw, Roman Reigns, the Universal Champion, had to relinquish his championship as he revealed that he's been battling leukemia for 11 years now. And
oh, wow.
Apparently it has come back. And, you know, and just in those moments, especially with pro wrestling, it's, you know, he's one of those guys like John Cena that he gets quite the reaction from the crowd, but it's a split reaction. He's got a lot of people that boo him, a lot of people that cheer him. It's just amazing how in that moment, an entire fan base is kind of unified around the reality of the situation and how severe it is. It's so unfortunate that somebody that's so powerful and so, you know, such an amazing human being could be affected by, you know, something like this. And honestly, like it was really surprising that, you know, he's hidden it or hasn't talked about it. I can't say, you know, he didn't hide it, but this is new information. People did not know that he had leukemia for the last 11 years. And that's a testament to him and what he wants to be. You know, I doubt the last thing he wanted to be was pitied or one of those people that people look at like, wow, you're so awesome for overcoming this adversity. You know, I watched a documentary recently on Jim Abbott, you know, the one-handed pitcher and Jim Abbott, like one of the things that he hated that. He never wanted to be like an inspiration. He never wanted to be someone that, oh, you know, you're so inspired. He just wanted to pitch. He just, you know, he was like, I'm just good. I'm just as good as other people. Just let me be a normal person. So I can understand how someone that's afflicted with something like that, you know them as, doesn't want to, you know, people to think of them as being like this tremendously strong person for overcoming this adversity. They want, you know, they just want to be, you know, the man in his case. He just wants to be a WWE champion. He just wants to be a wrestler and, you know, be somebody that little kids look up to. I saw someone say this on Twitter, though, and I could just think about all the times where he had to visit, you know, doing what he does, visit kids with leukemia and couldn't tell them, you know, about how what they shared in common and how hard that must have been. So, but yeah, it's one of those situations where it's unfortunate and, you know, got to wish him absolutely the best in his fight against that. Hope to see him back in the ring soon.
Derek, what's more important, your pinky finger or your pinky toe?
I think my pinky finger would be more important. I think pinky toe is that one, the nail on it's all weird already. I mean, I don't think I need it for stability.
And out of here on this, you do know PLR is that much closer to getting that gift card to give to Amir to take Lily out for lunch. You do realize that, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I had to lose to a small child in fantasy football, so I don't even know what to say other than that. Like, I probably shouldn't work in sports anymore, but I think it's more of a testament to your kid and his ability to pick a solid lineup. I blame your line. I blame my defense, but, you know, whatever. Things happen.
Well, you know what's sad, Derek, is his record is, when I looked at the standing, it's higher than mine, too. And I work in sports, so I don't know if I can say I've cultivated a genius or
a monster. You've cultivated a monster is what you've done. You've unleashed another page of Demacos on society. Look what you've done.
At 8 years old, he told me, and I kid you not, I literally mean this, I promise you. He said three things, which I don't know if it means that he's my son or he's taking it to another level. He went to see the Bears and the Cardinals play, and he looked out there and he said, "Dad, you know, in a few years, you'll be coming to this game to see me playing cornerback, since I'll be a shutdown cornerback." And I said, "Son, no matter what you do, Dad will be proud of you." So 2 days later, we're watching the basketball, or a week later, we watch the basketball game. He says, "Dad, 10 years, you'll be at that game watching me, being the best two guard in the NBA." And I said, "The same exact thing." And I said, "You know, football and basketball are the same time of the year." And he goes, "Yeah, I know. So it'll be hard to do both, but I'll find a way." And then he went and played in his flag football game. And there was a kid, and I'll just say his dad played. The kid's dad plays in the NFL. And he's good, good. And he caught one pass while Parr Jr. was defending him. And they put the kid on the other side, and he caught like two touchdown passes. And at the end of the game, Parr Jr. walked up to me and said, "I don't know why they put someone else on him. I was obviously shutting him down because I'm the only one out here that's fast enough to run with him." So I don't know what I've created in my lab, but I've definitely created something. So
you created a viral video machine is what you've created. You create something that can make him,
and with all that said, he's going to take all that being said, he's going to take all that, give that $5 gift card to his brother. So then that way he can marry into your family.
Oh, all right, I'm going to go now. Let's wrap this up. I don't need to sit here.
And don't forget, the bride dad pays for the wedding. So you're going to be paying for the wedding.
No, right? That, no. Yeah, no. You're going to make it extra fancy, too. Just sitting there smiling when we're sitting there at a meeting planning. You're just smiling across the table from me. Yep.
YOLO, man.
No,
you
know, no, honey, you should get the filet mignon. You should get the filet mignon.
Do the $35 plates for appetizers. Yo, man, listen, I appreciate you coming on. Tell the family I said hello, and we have to
do
this sooner rather than later.
Yes, man. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, bro. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
That's the one, the only, Derek Montilla, my brother, my partner in crime. Then I can't go way back, way, way back.
This is Elio Cobo with the Phoenix Suns, and I'm in the cave with PLR.
Let's talk a little bit of basketball before we jump out of here today. Watch the game last night. Watch the Lakers play against the San Antonio Spurs. And I am back on this notion, and I'm not getting off this notion until I'm forced to get off this notion. to me, the Lakers are a 7-8-9 seeded team in the West. It is really just that simple. I am not seeing a defense that can compete with the top teams. Can they beat bad teams? Sure they can. Will they beat some good teams? Sure they will. There's no shame losing at home to San Antonio. There's no shame going up to Portland and losing. There's no shame considering Portland's won like 98 season openers in a row. There's no shame in losing to the Houston Rockets, who won 65 games last year. But defensively, this team is bad. And I'm going to go back to something a lot of people won't bring up because he's the man. And again, we know LeBron James is the best player in basketball. But guys, if we keep saying his teams are bad defensive teams, because we said Cleveland was a bad defensive team. The year before, Cleveland was a bad defensive team. The year they won the world, the year they won it all, they weren't great defensively. And the year before that, they weren't great defensively. At what point do we honestly face up and say, if all his teams are bad defensive teams, and we could count some of the defensive mistakes that he made too, that LeBron is no longer a top-flight defender overall. And he has to not just be surrounded with shooters, to surround him with some people that can play the defense. And I know Lance Stephenson used to be a great defender. I know JaVale McGee used to be a good defender. And I know Rajon Rondo used to be a good defender. But we're not talking Rondo 09, 10, 11, great defender. We're not talking Lance Stephenson 13, 14, 15, great defender. So I'm going to go back to this one more time. I'm interested in the construction of this team. Are they a team that's an old veteran team with McGee and Stephenson and Beasley and Rondo and LeBron, or are they LeBron with the young guys, with the Kuzmas and the Balls and the Ingrams? What team exactly are they? And I think until they figure out that identity crisis, that this year may get longer for them. Now, they're in town tomorrow to play. By the way, this might be a good measuring stick for Phoenix to see how they match up. But I think Denver was a better measuring stick for the Phoenix Suns and how they matched up, because Denver's a better team than the Lakers. So I don't think tomorrow night is a game where the Suns are matching up to see if they can play with the elite in the West. I think tomorrow night is a matchup for the Phoenix Suns to see if they can compete with the teams that are 7, 8, 9, 10 in the West, and how close they are to being a 7, 8, 9, 10 team in the West. And we're going to talk more about that tomorrow for sure. We have the one, the only Fleegs coming on tomorrow at 1:15. Kyle Fleeger from Suns Debate. So we're going to get into that tomorrow, and I'm going to ask him about that. I'm going to ask him, are these the games that the Suns are really measuring where they are? Because, yeah, they got blown out against Golden State last night, but there's a lot of teams that are going to get blown out against Golden State. They've won 3 out of 4 titles, 2 in a row. So a lot of teams are going to get beat by Golden State. So I don't want to look at that as their measuring stick. But when they're playing the Lakers, or they're playing, and I'm not putting Lakers in this class with Sacramento, but when they're playing, are they beating Sacramento and Dallas consistently like they should? Are they competing with the Clippers and the Lakers of the world consistently? You know, are they in games against Portland and Utah consistently? I think that's how you measure how you're coming up in the West. We'll see. We'll get more into that tomorrow. Like I said, we'll have Fleegs on tomorrow, so we'll get into all that good stuff. All calls made via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Always good to catch up with good friend of the show, Lou. Derek, my brother, thank you so much for coming on today. Really appreciate you, as always. Big show tomorrow. We'll get into that then. This is The Cave Show. This is PLR. Make sure you are following us on all social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook fan page. Cave is always, always, always with the Cave. Get us directly at online at thesportscave.com. Again, Cave is always with the Cave. You can get me directly at PLR on Sports on Twitter, so make sure you check me out. I should say the Twitter. Sound old when I do that. Tomorrow, Fleets is on. Again, thank you, Derek, for calling in today. AZ Sports, the Steel Cage, Derek Montilla. Until tomorrow, y'all, this has been The Cage Show. This is PLR. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. And tomorrow's Sunday. Take care, everyone.